We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Who was your first love? Who? Where's Gary now? Okay. Bummer. First love. Anybody remember? Yeah. Your mommy. Yeah, but that doesn't fit the sermon. No, it won't fit, Dave. That won't fit the sermon. But I know about your first date with Kay. Should we just tell that story? I remember mine. Mine was a girl named Tammy Hinton. And Tammy was my first love. She was my first kiss. She was my first girlfriend. She was the first one I gave an ID bracelet to. Remember those? She was the first one I asked to go steady with me. And when at a tender age of 11 years old, I knew that I was going to marry Tammy Hinton. I just forgot to tell her that. So not only was Tammy my first love, she was my first heartbreak. The first girl that ever just broke my heart. And at 11 years old, I swore off ever being in love again. That was it. And it lasted until the eighth grade. Because in the eighth grade, now you would understand this if you knew Karen Nielsen. I met Karen Nielsen. And at the eighth and ninth grade dance at my junior high school, there was Karen Nielsen. And here I was. And this song comes on. And I walked over. And I asked her to dance. I mean, this song. Like the greatest love song ever. Right? Nights in white satin. Right? Moody Blues. Oh. How could you not be in love with Karen Nielsen dancing this song? It was perfect. And it was on that dance floor that I asked, okay, we can fade it down because I'm just going to like start singing. I'll just start singing the song and everybody will leave because I can't sing. Wow, what a man. Anyhow, so, and I asked Karen to go steady with me, and since Tammy didn't give back my ID bracelet, I gave Karen something better. A friendship mood ring. Remember those? Yeah. Yeah. This is serious stuff. And I knew that Tammy Hinton had nothing on Karen Nielsen, and Karen Nielsen was the girl I was going to marry. And again, I forgot to tell Karen that. And my heart was broken a second time. Now, this time I was a little smarter. Because rather than swear off love, I decided I would talk to my mom because my mom was wise beyond her years. And my mom, you'd have to know, she was a little Italian lady, and my mom could be really compassionate and really understanding, but there was a point, right? She would allow you to wallow for just so long. And then when she decided it was time to start wallowing, to start wallowing, she would then break into the Italian mother lecture, right? Some of you moms nodding your head, you do the same thing. Well, this time was no different. My mom was compassionate, understanding, hugged me. It's okay, it's okay. And then she decided that was enough. And then I got the lecture. And I didn't know it then, but I realized later that these words were wiser than Solomon could have ever spoken himself. Because she said something like this. She said, Marty, when you were younger, you would skin your knees. And I could fix that. But with a broken heart, the only thing I can do is to tell you it's going to be okay. And maybe that tomorrow will be the best day of your life. And if Karen Nielsen breaking up with you is the worst thing that ever happens to you, then it's a pretty good life. Well, I sure wish I could tell you that the worst thing that ever happened to me was Tammy Hinton and Karen Nielsen breaking up with me. Because looking back on that now, that was like, seriously, really? Right? But we know, those of us who are over 20, I guess, we know that life is full of heartaches and heartbreaks, and that we just walk around with this, well, I like to call it a heavy soul. Now, I read an interesting article about this heavy soul thing. I read that America right now, this year, has the highest percentage than ever before of people who are suffering from what they call low-grade constant depression, which is way different than clinical depression. This low-grade constant depression is just this sadness that seems to come over people. And according to this article, the part that's a little scary about this and the part that I understand is that if you ask someone who is suffering from this low-grade constant depression, if you ask them why they're sad, they can't put their finger on it. They don't know what's really wrong. They just know that something isn't right. See, I call that living with a heavy soul. Now, you heard read Psalm 42. I think Tom read it. You heard that read a little while ago. And the reason why I love that psalm is because David is so real in those moments. He wants to know one question, and it's in verse 5. Can we just put verse 5 up there? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so heavy, O my soul? Why are you filled with such anxiety and worry and grief and sadness? See, that's the question. And I wonder if there's anyone this morning who understands what it means to have a heavy soul. Let me rephrase that, because I think this is a better way to put it. Is there anyone here this morning that has never had a heavy soul? It'd be a lot less show of hands. Because I'm willing to bet that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced what David was in that psalm. Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Now, the reason why we experience is all different depending on who you are. There are people I know who their heavy soul just comes because of things that happened in the past. Right? A friend lied to you, a spouse betrayed you, you lost a job. You know, the list goes on. You buried someone that you love, and you still just, it's not that you're supposed to get over it, but you just can't move past it. You know what I mean? Because what I tell people all the time at funerals is that I wish I could tell you that this pain you're feeling right now will go away, but I'm not going to lie to you because it's not. It's only dangerous when it paralyzes you. But it's always going to hurt. A friend lies to you, it's always going to hurt. You go through a divorce, it's always going to hurt. Someone you love dies, it's always going to hurt. But that's different than this heaviness of the soul. So some of us, that's what we deal with. It's kind of what Jeremiah was dealing with in the book of Lamentations. And most people don't read Lamentations. I got a confession to make. I've never preached from it. I was looking, and I always underline what I preach and make notes, and my book of Lamentations is wide open, blank. But there's this one part in Lamentations. Can we put it up there? 3:19-20. The thought of my affliction. See, Jeremiah is thinking back to something. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down in me. Why, oh soul, are you downcast? That's what Jeremiah wants to know. So for some of us, it's the past. For others, it's what's going on right now in our lives. I mean, there's people I know and I've dealt with and talking to who are going through horrible situations right now. They've gotten medical diagnoses, which is not what they wanted to hear. They're in relationships that are falling apart and breaking up. They are struggling just to make ends meet. They've lost a job. All of that, and it's right now. And that's what Job was going through. If you read the book of Job, that's what he was all about. He wasn't worried about what was happening in the past. He didn't care about tomorrow. He wanted to know, why now? And then there's that one that I think all of us struggle with, right? May not like to admit it, but it's when you worry about things that might happen. Anyone else ever do that? You start playing that game. What if? What if I lose my job? What if my retirement doesn't last? What if my spouse dies? What if something happens to my child? What if this? What if that? Right? And pretty soon this sadness just kind of fills us. And we don't really know why. We just know something isn't right. And it's because we have what-ifed ourselves into this heavy soul. So heavy soul. Either from your past, from something going on now, or a struggle that we fear might happen tomorrow. And I love how David deals with his heavy soul. Can we put verse 5 back up there, Tom? Is that possible? 5, all the way down. There you go. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Here's David's answer. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. See, for David, it came down to being hopeful in God. David did what I like to call, David preached to his soul, right? He reminded his soul to be of what once was, and how at one time before, whatever's going on in his life, at one time before, he was able to praise God. And he says at verse 5, he says, and I'm going to get that time again. I'm going to hope that that time comes because I want to praise God one more time. It's the same thing Jeremiah said in Lamentations verse, oh, I'm going to read this because I only put up one verse on that, but you got to hear this whole thing. This is so incredibly great. This is what Jeremiah says. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. And one of my favorite hymns comes right from there. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Wow. I mean, right? And so what Jeremiah said is, I know things that happened in the past. I know things are going on now, and I worry about what may happen tomorrow. But I know one thing, that at the end of the day, God is faithful. And I can count on his mercies being new every single morning. And I just love that. Because that's what I need to remind myself sometimes. God is faithful. God is good. So a few years ago, I was at this church, not this one, a previous church, and they were, $5.84 million in debt. And I got appointed there to get them out of debt. And so the problem was the church didn't know they were $5.84 million in debt for the most part. I made a joke in the middle of a sermon about being $5.84 million in debt. All of a sudden, people, like, you heard them gasp. And then here's where it went south, is they started blaming me for being $5.84 million in debt, to which I had to tell them, look, when you guys were getting yourself $5.84 million in debt, I didn't know you even existed, right? But it really got to me. And it just destroyed my soul. And so I went out, they had this garden, I went out in the garden and I started looking through Psalms, and I found this one Psalm that I never saw before or never paid attention. It's Psalm 142. And I don't know what was going on in David's life when he wrote it, but I know that when he wrote it, he was in a cave, so that can't be good, all right? And this is what he wrote, and this is so honest. He says, with my voice I cry the Lord. With my voice I make supplication to the Lord. Get this. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell him my trouble before him. And I just love the honesty of that. Because here is David saying, basically what he's saying, if you read the original language, David is basically saying, look, I just let God have it. I just let God have it. I'm done. And I just tell God everything in my heart. And I just, and I did that. I just went through a laundry list of things. And I actually felt better. And to be honest, I do it now sometimes. I'll walk down the chapel. I'll sit there in the dark. And just pour out my complaints to God. And I tell people all the time, it's okay to be angry at God. God can handle our anger. Job got angry. Moses got angry. David got angry. But I feel better, right? And I know good church people don't think they're supposed to get angry at God because he's God. It's exactly why you pour out your soul to God. But you got to understand this. You can pour out your soul to God. You can sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." You can read every psalm. What I'm telling you is that helps. But I'm not telling you it's going to take away whatever makes your heart heavy. It doesn't work that way. I'm not preaching to you some make it till you fake it type of thinking, right? And I'm not preaching to you some pie in the sky theology that if you have enough faith, everything's going to be great. That's not what the Bible says. What I'm telling you is that my mom was right. It really is going to be okay. And the reason why I know that, not just because my mom said it, it's exactly what Jesus said, right? Jesus is walking with the disciples and he stops and he says, you guys are going to know trouble. And they say, really trouble? And he said, yeah, but you will overcome. Because what Jesus was telling those guys and what Jesus is telling us is that trouble, death, cancer, divorce, unemployment, dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever you want to say, never has the last word. That God always has the last word. And with the last word with God is always a word of victory. That's what Jesus said. My mom said, you're going to be okay. Jesus says, God wins. Oh, did I just spoil the ending? I'm sorry. If you don't know the ending, shh, God wins. Love wins. We win. It's exactly what Paul said when Paul wrote, for I am convinced that nothing, not life, not death, not things present, not things to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. See that? My mom was right. When you skin your knees, those are easy to fix. But when your soul is hurting, when your soul is heavy, that takes hope. That takes faith. And to be able to answer, it is well with my soul, well, it is well with my soul. Not because my soul doesn't get heavy or restless, but because I know my Redeemer lives. Let us pray. Gracious God, we say thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for the love and grace that you have showered upon us. And Father, when our hearts get restless and our souls get heavy, speak to us words of hope. Tap us on the shoulder and remind us that you are faithful. And that nothing can separate us from your love, nothing. So we come and we gather in this place and we're surrounded by people who love us and people who we love. And so for just a moment, God, we offer prayers and we pray for the person on our right. And we pray for the one on our left. We pray for the one that is in front of us and the one that is behind us. And God, we may not know what's going on in their lives, but you do. And if their souls are heavy or restless, whisper into their ears words of hope, of comfort, and let us know it's going to be okay. We ask all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I think it'd be good. Let's stand. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.